Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Car Stuff. My name is Ben, and I'm hanging out with the irreplaceable, the unique, the erudite. Oh, he stopped nodding when I said that. Okay. with our very own Scott Benjamin.
Wow, what an intro. My name is I'm Scott Benjamin, and I'm auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Well, Scott, earlier in the week, you and I were talking about how we may have this weird, archaic sense of manners. Mm-hmm. We were having that sidewalk conversation.
Yes.
So I'll break that down briefly for the listeners. The way that I was taught by my mother, who I will not admit to hitting me on air, you know, but the way my mother always explained it to me, if I am walking on a sidewalk by a street, and then I see a person who's older than, like an elderly person, a child or a pregnant woman, or even just a woman if I'm being nice, or a couple, that my job is to get to the side that's closest to the traffic.
Mm-hmm. The curbside, yeah.
Right. And as a child, I was mystified. I did not understand why my mother thought I was somehow invulnerable to cars. but it's part of manners when you're doing that. And it's very strange to think about that in the context of today's episode, which is trying to answer one of the weird questions that no one really can answer about motor vehicle traffic.
That's right. Yep. And that's which side of the road do you drive on and why?
And why?
And why? That's the important
thing. That's the tough
one. Yeah. Why? Driving on the, you know, which side you're on, that's simple enough. We've got that all broken down. I mean,
sure.
Right now, there's 75 countries that drive on the left-hand side, and there's 165 countries that drive on the right-hand side. So if you want to break that down in population-wise, you know, based on the idea that there's about 6 billion people in the world, 4 billion of them are driving on the right-hand side. Only 2 billion are driving on the left-hand side. So it's about a third of the population is driving on the right-hand side.
And that's what's strange about this is that we can trace, as we try to trace which countries do this, we can also, to a certain point, we can trace back when they began or when they, because some countries did switch sides in this debate. But when you get to the origin point, the actual history of this practice, it becomes kind of anecdotal, right?
Yeah. Well, it goes way, way, way beyond cars, of course.
Yeah. Oh, can I take him back?
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Okay. So the earliest thing that I could find, and, you know, I can't prove this, but the earliest thing I could find was that apparently in 1100 B.C.
Wow.
Yeah. Chinese bureaucrats put out mentioned in one of their regulatory documents that the right side of the road will be for men, the left side for women, and the center for vehicles or carriages.
Hmm, okay.
And apparently, a lot of people tell you that's where the very first decision on who goes where on the shared roadway mm-hmm. began. But of course, this is way, way, way before even Da Vinci making his car.
Yeah. Oh, way before. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Interesting. I had no idea that it had gone back that far.
Well, that's really, I guess maybe that's a little tangential because it's saying that's the first time that there was a legal ruling on how to divide the road.
I see. This wasn't just rules of society. This was, a common knowledge type thing. This was dictated law.
Right. This was organizing.
Okay.
I guess maybe for safety, probably more so for efficiency.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can probably have a little bit of fun here with the historical stuff. How'd you hear it started? I feel like this is such a great – it's like one of those bar jokes.
Well, I had always thought – and I think I'm missing a step here, so you can tell me if I am. But I thought it started with the wagons. Remember we talked about this in the past? Mm. I thought it was to do with the wagons passing on the road and the side that the drivers wanted to sit on.
Oh, yeah.
But there's got to be something before that. Why were the wagons on the left-hand side of the road? Because that's where they were.
And the explanation for that, right, is that you know it.
No, well, go ahead.
Oh, well, the explanation for that is that when we go back to wagons, people were riding that way. So because there were wheels that jutted out from the wagon, people were riding sitting on the left side with opposite traffic coming on the left.
On the right side.
On the right side?
See, this is where it gets confusing.
Oh, yeah, I'm starting
because,
to –
No, see,
I'm doing
is,
my hands the wrong
way. This is the
way.
Odd thing because they would – you get so confused in this, and I don't blame you. I get terribly confused in this because the vehicles are now on the left, right? They're traveling on the left.
Right.
So if there's an opposing vehicle coming the other way on the left, that's on the driver's right side. So they like you said, they've got wheels that are exposed. So they want to be then positioned nearest the center line of the road, which is on the right side.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah,
That's right.
Sorry,
don't ever apologize for correcting me. And listeners, don't ever apologize.
So why were they on the right then?
So that they could see if somebody else's wagon was going to mess with their wheels, if someone else's wagon wheels, rather.
Exactly.
So you're kind of there just to keep an eye on the safety of your vehicle and the distance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And from there...
But wait, wasn't there one point? Because see, that's where I think I skipped a step there. There's one before that, right?
Oh yeah, and there is one.
And why the heck were they on the left-hand side of the road to begin with? Why did, I don't know. I mean, it could have just as easily been the right-hand side, right?
All right. You're leading me.
I am.
You are. Okay. So before wagons, when people were just walking around, right?
Just walking around. Not a care in the world.
As you do.
Well, actually, they do have some cares.
They did. They were probably very hungry and wanted a wagon at the very least so they didn't have to walk or a horse. All right. So when people are walking around, the idea is – and you know, Scott, I got to say I don't place too much credence in this one.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way.
Possible does not equal plausible
in
the big book of Ben Bolin.
But it does give a convenient answer for why those wagons were on the left-hand side of the road.
Yeah, it does. It does. And so without further ado, people used to travel on the left side of the road according to multiple unproven sources. People used to travel on the left side of the road because they lived in violent societies and they were walking with knives or swords. And because they were mostly right-handed, that part I admit is true. Most people are right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're riding there, you want to keep people – now, help me out in case I go dyslexic again.
You want to
keep people on your left side.
No, you want to keep them on your right.
So you can hit them with the sword.
So you can draw your sword from the left
with
your right, and then you have it handy on your right to – take on that opposition necessary.
So that's how it evolved, apparently.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And then that's how they started getting in the wagons. And, you know, I guess a sword is not...
you always travel on the left. Mm-hmm. You would tend to do that in a driven vehicle, I suppose.
Sure. If it works, then you just repeat it, right?
Exactly, yeah. You would repeat that system. Like if you're walking on the left to begin with because of fear being attacked or, you know, wanting to be able to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It would only make sense that when you got in a wagon and you've got a team of horses in front of you, that you would pass on the left.
Which is so just so interesting to me that it's there's no way for me to prove that's true. There's also no way for me to disprove it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, I know.
And
I
it's know. It's almost like when people are talking about astrophysical theories, you know, mm-hmm. or theories of astrophysicists. You know, I've never been there, so I can't really prove
it. You can
it.
Talk about it all day long.
Yeah, right. You can always talk about
yeah.
it, which is what we're doing. But I still think this is such a – remember that picture that I showed you about the bridge where it was between – where was it? It was between maybe China and India
mm-hmm.
because it was between a place where people drive on the right and a place where people drive on the left.
Yeah. What do you do at the border?
Yeah. It was – you know what? Matter of fact, I think it was Hong Kong. And the two lanes or the two directions of traffic split out in this really intricate kind of design, and then they yeah. intertwine on opposite sides.
Interesting. So that's going to be crazy looking design.
I mean, love to drive there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it almost looks like the infinity symbol.
It does.
Yeah,
it does kind of look like that.
Yeah, it's like a figure eight almost. Mm-hmm. You end up on the opposite side of the road,
mm-hmm.
well, on the right side of the road for wherever, whatever country you're in.
That's a trip, man. If you are driving there and you haven't and you're not anticipating that,
yeah.
then I would freak out.
Sure, within the space of a couple hundred feet, you're on the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
And all your instincts or everything that you have learned about driving is telling you to do
yeah,
the
that's
wrong
right.
stuff.
And you know, some of the safety aspects come up as well because later when we talk about why cars are designed the way they're designed, you'll understand why it's important that some cars have the driver's side on the right-hand side, others have the driver's side on the left-hand side.
Oh, you know what? We should jump into that right now. One thing we should mention,
mm-hmm.
There are some cars that are whose designers were so awesome that they put the driver's seat in the middle of the vehicle.
Oh, yeah. There are a few.
There are just a few, and most of them are either like smart car, alternative cars of some sort, or high-end...
Oh, supercars.
Yeah, high-end burn your hair off if you stick your head out yeah. the window.
McLaren's a good example of
McLaren
that.
McLaren is my draft pack.
Million-dollar car, yeah. Those yeah. are awesome. Yeah, with the two passengers that sit behind...
Kind of diagonal.
Yeah, behind and below you, kind of.
It's like you're in a triangular formation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So my interruption of this podcast to talk about how cool I think the McLaren is...
That's all right.
...was brought
That's
to you
all right.
by
but this. This idea of driving on the left mm-hmm. Continued on, and it was kind of passed around, I guess. I mean, you know, conquest happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it became politicized.
There were revolutions. I mean, it has something to do with the way Napoleon's conquering, you know, and going across Germany, Poland, Russia, Spain, Italy. I mean, just all over the place.
Yes.
So these countries, you know, this idea of driving on the left slowly spread, but it did spread and it became mm-hmm. widely known as, you know, this is the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the United States, I think out of just, just kind of spite, we decided that we're going to go on the right-hand side because we're free of the colonies at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to – or not free of the colonies.
Free of the king.
Exactly.
Free, of the monarchy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Didn't mean that. You know what I meant. Anyways, it was just a spiteful move, I think, and it stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that idea – well, that's elsewhere in the world as well, as you can see. I mean,
right.
with two-thirds of the population driving on the right, one-third mm-hmm. driving on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that backwards? No, I said that the right way.
You said that correctly, yeah.
yeah. But there have been countries that have shifted from one side to the other.
Yes, sir. Yes, they have.
And going back as far as Sweden in the late 1960s,
mm-hmm.
There was on September 3rd at 5 a.m., Sweden switched over from driving on the. No, this is crazy.
I love that you know
from,
the time.
Well, it's important because mm-hmm. They switched over to the right-hand drive system from being a left-hand drive system, and there was a period of 5 hours where no one was allowed on the roads, 4 hours ahead of time and 1 hour after mm-hmm. the time, which was scheduled to be at 5 a.m., where they had to change all the signage in the town. Just make sure that everything was laid out appropriately right-hand drive traffic versus left-hand drive traffic. And the same thing in Iceland in the late 60s, again in 68. Ghana in 1974. And what's strange about this is I heard that Great Britain actually considered changing over, but decided that, you know, just for political reasons and also for monetary issues, that, you know, it was going to cost a lot of money to be able to shift
hugely
over.
Hugely expensive.
They decided that, you know what, we're going to stick with driving on the left.
I've got one, though. We're at 1974 right now.
Yeah.
Here's a cool one that I heard about, another country that didn't want to switch. And I want to tell you again, this is, you know, let's say, not 100% verified. Mm-hmm. But it's funny if it's true. Apparently, Pakistan also thought about changing to driving on the right. And this was in the 60s. But they decided not to because at the time there were a lot of camel trains that were going – that would – you know, be on a caravan while the driver of the train was dozing. And supposedly, instead of the cost, because there wasn't a bunch, you know, there wasn't the same sort of infrastructure cost associated with England, right? With road signs and a lot of new traffic directions to paint on. Mm-hmm. But the problem was apparently teaching camels that had already been used to going on
one way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, it's just so funny that I almost don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, I'll buy it. You told me, Ben. I believe you.
Oh man.
All right. So
yes,
listen, I think I want to mention something.
What's that?
The location of the steering wheel in a car.
This is one of the most important parts.
This is I mean, later we're going to get into some of the other strange things that this all affects and everything. But one of the things that I want to mention is the location of the steering wheel because.
Mm-hmm.
In countries where you drive on the right, you're going to find that all the cars are, you know, the steering wheel's on the left-hand side. And in countries that drive on the left, you're going to find that the steering wheel's on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good reason for that. It's a safety concern. And the safety concern is that the driver is always closest to the center line of the road. And the reason for that is to be able to see other cars when overtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Also to be able to judge distances when they're traveling, against traffic, so that they can, easily. You know how it's easier to make in a left-hand drive car, it's easier to make a left-hand turn, I think, than it is to make a right-hand turn.
Sure.
You can't see the corner. You can't see exactly where your wheels are. On a left-hand turn, you can. Same idea with driving closer to traffic. I mean, you have a better sense of where the side of your car that's passing oncoming traffic is located.
You have a better, I guess, spatial awareness.
Exactly.
And, it's like the what is it they tell you in driver's ed? Always, always visualize yourself like you are that left wheel, that front left wheel.
Hmm. Okay. So
maybe it was just my driver's ed.
Maybe. Maybe. I've never heard that.
He was weird.
Okay.
He's a weird guy. That's a different – that's a story.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
That's a different camel.
I'm looking at you blindly here. I don't know.
Okay, so
– first he's talking about camels falling asleep and now this. And
you're right, man. I'm taking this crazy. Let's – the steering wheel. That's what we're about today.
All right. So – This isn't all on Ford, but in 1908, Ford changed their vehicles from to left-hand drive.
Mm.
They were right-hand drive prior to that.
And now is this a chicken and egg situation?
Maybe. I'm not sure exactly when the whole system switched over, but this is from a Ford catalog in 1908, and I'll just read it here. It says the control is located on the. This is why. Why the benefits of locating the controls on the left side.
Mm.
The control is located on the left side, the logical place for the following reasons. Traveling on the right side of the road, the steering wheel on the right side of the car made it necessary to get out on the street side and walk around the car. This is awkward and especially inconvenient if there is a lady to be considered.
Mm.
So, the gentleman gets out into the traffic side now, walks around to the curb side, and allows the lady to get out. That's the so. There's a gentlemanly reason behind this whole thing.
A bit of chivalry.
Yeah, and this is Ford 1908, but it says that in a matter of having the steering wheel control on the right, the driver is farthest away from the passing traffic, so I can even see the other wheels of their car and easily avoid danger. So basically, what we just said is that it's restating that same thing,
except for the ladies part.
Well, this is like the chivalry thing.
Yeah.
You always allow the lady out on the curb side, and that way you didn't have to park opposite Mm-hmm. Or turn the car around, as they often did, to allow the lady out onto the curb rather than out into traffic, which I guess was happening often, and that was kind of a danger as well. So they said, let's just standardize all this, and we'll keep it the same way.
Now, here's the question, too, about the time. I'm not running over you, am I?
No, I have one more quick thing, though.
All right.
This is until the mid-1960s, Lancias. Which are Italian-made cars, they were designed for alpine passes. And so this is even until the 1960s when, you know, they were driving on the right, and the driver's also seated on the right, so they could see the edge of the road, because that was more important than being able to see the oncoming traffic and everything to them. They didn't want to fall off one of the Alps.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's so Lancia has kept it right-hand drive for a long time.
They've actually probably prevented a large amount of accidents.
Well, there's still, it says there's still Spanish buses and trucks that are right-hand drive. It was a while ago that they quit making them, but they made right-hand drive trucks and buses for Spain because they needed the same reason, because they had unstable road edges. You've dealt with that, I'm sure, in Guatemala, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, buddy, yes.
Yeah.
They in Guatemala, the driving, they have all the old Bluebird school buses. A lot of the old Bluebird school buses are brought down to Guatemala and parts of Central America, and then they're modified and they're decorated really brightly and stuff. And all the driving, all the steering is in the left side of the front of the vehicle, right? Where your school bus driver probably sat too.
Yeah.
They're crazy drivers, Scott. There's no – I don't care if people think it's offensive.
Yeah.
I don't care if people think I'm a coward or afraid of heights. But, man, considering that you're on the side of a mountain, it's
no guardrail, and it's dirt, and it's crumbling.
And it's a bus. It's so long. Like, I saw two accidents while I was there, neither of which happened – in the vehicle I was in, you know, I was like holding chickens for people, man. It was, and we were careening, and that's the word, careening down. Yeah. And you know, Chuck and Josh, went back to Guatemala briefly.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got a chance to ride one of those buses. They should check it out though.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun. But then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson, Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Maybe they were too smart to stay away.
Well, maybe they were just too busy. Yeah.
Wait, too smart. Did I say that back? Yeah, too smart to get on there. That's
yes.
What I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Too smart to stay away. But yeah. we gotta briefly, though, before we go past forward too much longer, we do have to point out there's a really good question here. The roads by 1908, that rule of the road was pretty much standardized, right?
Yeah.
But when Ford made that decision, this is the heyday of Ford, right? This is huge.
Yeah.
They're the car company.
Yeah, they are. They're just becoming the car company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they make that decision, is it something where more of the people who are buying Fords in other countries, like in Canada, say, end up, you know, did Ford in that decision end up standardizing more than just their own vehicles?
You know, Ben, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if they then set up roadways to accommodate that is what you're asking, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly, because how many Model A's were there eventually, or Model T's were there? 15 million or something like that.
Yeah,
and you know they weren't all located here in the United States. They were spread everywhere. Who knows how much that affected the local traffic in that region. Probably did. I would say it had to have something to do with it.
Oh, and before we go into something, I got a recent switch for us.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about this one?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so Scott, you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, and we wanted to make sure that people didn't take this as entirely a history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, it's very historical,
but
also there's a great point we got to make. I don't know about you, buddy, but I was surprised by this one. When last we left people switching sides, we were talking about the 1970s.
Yeah,
right?
74.
Mm-hmm. Which
Ghana.
I think Ghana. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And however, that was not the last one. That was not the most recent one.
Really?
Yes, sir. Samoa became the first country to change from right to left-hand driving.
Hmm.
So from right to left-hand driving.
Oh, that's odd.
Isn't it?
That's really odd.
On September 7th, 2009.
Well, that's just last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the switch over, well, less than a year. No, just about a year ago, almost exact.
Yep. Yeah. It's almost the anniversary.
Wow.
Tell your friends, call your boss, tell them you have to take.
It's past the anniversary, Ben. Yeah, it is. It's already passed.
Yeah. Oh, we missed
crazy.
It.
I guess so. I don't know. We should have had a cake or something.
We should have had a cake.
Wow. That's really a strange switch, though, to go from right to left.
Next year, we're going to have to take the day off to celebrate. Yeah, they did it because it was they had been driving on the right when they were a German colony,
mm-hmm.
And they wanted to switch sides as a business decision, from what I understand. Japan is a left-hand driving state.
Yes.
Or country.
Country,
yeah. And so to make it easier to use cheaper cars coming from Japan, allegedly that's the reason that Samoa mm-hmm. made this very strange switch.
I've driven a Japanese market Neon before.
Have you?
On the right. The only car I've ever driven on the right-hand side. Yeah.
Really? A Neon?
Yeah.
Cars.
Which is really strange. It was when I worked for Chrysler.
Uh-huh.
We had it for one day at the studio that I was working in, and I had to drive it back to the place where we picked it up. And what's weird about it was I kept looking up and to the right for the rearview mirror, and I also kept hitting my hand into the door when I
as
wanted
you
to
tried
shift.
To shift,
tried to shift, yeah, which is really strange. I mean, and it's just that that muscle memory thing, you know, where that's the direction that you do that, and it was really a strange car. I mean, when you put it in park, the mirrors folded in, you know, just for space saving,
which is common in Japan.
Exactly, yeah. It was just a strange vehicle to drive. I don't remember which side the turn signals were on, because that's not standard. They're not always on the right hand side of the steering column. They are sometimes on the left. And everything else, like the pedals, the clutch, brake, and gas, are standard.
Those are
right or left. And the shift patterns are also standard. So in a manual transmission. A lot of people have this question with like older British cars and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You will shift. First gear is up and away from you, mm-hmm. instead of up and towards you, and or you know down and towards you.
It's so weird.
Way you're looking at it,
but it's like switching to a left hand.
You shift from first to you know fourth or fifth or sixth or whatever you have towards your leg. Then at that on a right hand drive car.
You know, I don't know if I would be comfortable with that. You know, if I was renting a car, because mm-hmm. we talked about this before in renting cars and why it's good to know how to drive a stick.
Yeah.
I would be that guy slapping the side of the door, man, yeah. if I was in a car.
It's difficult to get used to. It's really a strange sensation, especially when you're still driving on the right-hand side of the road.
Yeah.
And you still have to follow. I mean, it's just a weird place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Really strange. But it was fun. It was fun. I'd do it again if I had an older British car or something like that that was a right-hand drive.
I would do it if it was an automatic.
Hmm. Good point. But, you know, if you're renting one, oftentimes they're more expensive.
It's going to be a stick, yeah.
It would be more expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to pay for it, I guess that'd be good. But it might be the way to go.
I will burn that bridge when I get to it, Scott.
Hey, you know what? I've got a short list. I don't know if you got any more right-hand,
I'm
left-hand
ready. Yeah,
stuff.
Let's do this.
But there's some really interesting things, I think, and I'll go through this quickly. There's some really interesting things that are affected by the side of the road that people drive on, right-hand drive, left-hand drive.
You, my friend, are not talking about driving at this point.
No, this is not driving. Well, in some cases, yes. In other cases, no. But right away, no. I'm talking about walking. And we mentioned this, you know, that you had to always walk on the...
Mm-hmm. Between traffic.
Exactly.
And other people.
And I was taught the same thing, and I still do the same thing just because of, you know, I guess manners, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice that people that drive on the right-hand side of the road also tend to think that the right-hand side of the sidewalk is the right-hand side of the right side
mm-hmm.
to walk on.
Yep.
And vice versa, of course.
People are supposed to cross to their left. They're supposed to be passing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Just like the flow of traffic would be, right?
Just like. Which makes sense.
Now, this is only trouble when, let's say, you get a visitor from, like, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And Japan drives on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to walk on the sidewalk on the left-hand side, kind of upstream, like a salmon swimming upstream.
Yeah.
And this causes trouble. And likewise, you know, when a U.S. visitor visits Japan
mm-hmm.
and they walk on the right-hand side.
Thinking, why am I running into everybody?
Yeah, yeah, that right? causes trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying, like, what is everybody doing here? You know, it's really strange. So that happens. And this also relates to the use of doors. If there are two door options, a right-hand door and a left-hand side door.
The doorknobs?
Not necessarily that. This is if the doorknobs are in the center, doesn't matter. You know,
mm-hmm.
if there's a right-hand option and a left-hand option,
yeah.
In the United States, because we drive on the right, you're supposed to go in through the right door,
yeah.
out through what is also the right door, but it's the you know the left on the other side.
Yeah.
So many people ignore this. They go through the outdoor, and it causes just that you know moment where no one knows who's going to go. I'm going to hold the door for you. You're going to hold it for me. That type of thing happens. So door use is affected as well.
Good one.
And you'll notice that people from outside of the U.S. You know, don't obey this rule, and likewise U.S. visitors to other countries.
Weird.
Yeah, strange. I know, but it happens.
I'm glad you told me.
That's not the only thing.
What's the other thing?
Boats. Boat traffic generally keeps to the right. Generally. There are exceptions, but big bridges or mm-hmm. rather big barges in rivers where they need to get to the deep water side if the river takes a bend. But all the world over, boats generally stay to the right, and that's a common system that they follow.
Wow, I'm glad somebody figured out one thing to do.
Exactly,
right?
And there's very few exceptions to that rule. Boat traffic usually stays to the right. Aircraft traffic generally keeps to the right. And I don't understand this one exactly because that has to do with flight patterns and how they...
Yeah.
But one thing that I did find out that was kind of odd is that you know that the captain's seat in an airplane is on or a jet is on the left-hand side, right?
Yes.
The co-pilot is on the right-hand side.
Yes.
Okay. Well, in a helicopter, the pilot is on the right-hand side of the helicopter.
Weird.
Not on the left. That's the passenger.
You know what? I don't know why, but I've heard that before.
Hmm.
I think, was it when, didn't we do?
We did.
We did yeah,
we did
talked about this.
Helicopter
yeah.
podcast, that's right. Another couple of exceptions here.
Yeah.
Postal trucks in the United States.
Oh, that's right.
Those are right-hand drive, and they're often
good.
Modified vehicles that are specifically for that so they can reach the mailboxes on
mm-hmm.
the curbside. Another vehicle that's the same way, street cleaners. Street cleaners drive on the right-hand side so they can see the curbs.
Because also makes sense.
Because they have to stay very close to it with mm-hmm. the brushes and you know mm-hmm. the cleaners, et cetera. We mentioned the pedals are all universal worldwide.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of interesting ones I thought that you may not have known.
All right.
All right. These are the last couple here. And one I have an etiquette question about. This one. This specific one.
All right.
Revolving doors. Did you know that most revolving doors operate counterclockwise? If you're looking at them from above, counterclockwise. That means you enter on the right and you come out what is on the right also, which is the backup of the theory that, you know, you if you have the two doors, you enter on the right, come out on the other side, right?
Nice one. I knew they were counterclockwise, but I didn't put those two together.
Yeah, you're heading into the right and you're coming out through the right also.
Are they the other direction in other countries?
They are. There are some countries where, let's say that if you go to Australia or New Zealand, they operate in a clockwise fashion, which could be very dangerous to you if you didn't know this.
Yeah, or hilarious.
Or hilarious. Yeah, that's right. You could really get hurt pretty bad in this thing. So, I mean, honestly, if you don't know these types of things,
I am so glad you told me.
So I'm being serious about that. That's pretty dangerous.
I'm that guy who would run into the wall.
Here's my etiquette question. This isn't the last thing I have to say, but I have an etiquette question.
Etiquette.
Revolving door etiquette.
Yes.
You know how you're supposed to hold the door open for a lady?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do in a revolving door? Because if you let the female go first, she's then pushing the entire weight of the door for you to follow through.
A little bit of a pro tip there. What I like to do is have the, you know, I go with the flow of foot traffic, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to disrupt everything to have someone else go in front of me.
Yeah.
But if...
Let's say the door stopped, the two of you approach the door. Who goes first?
I would ask her to go first, but as she's going, as soon as that lip of the next partition comes, then I kind of grab it and push my way in.
Yeah, but you're still letting her take the brunt of getting the thing moving. Once it's moving, that thing will spin three or four times around.
I've rarely been accused of being a saint, Scott.
I understand.
I'm going to give you something, though. I'm going to give you a little more than you were looking for, because this is awesome. The guy, Van Cannell, the man who invented the revolving door.
Very nice.
Apparently did so. Now, you know, revolving doors are a huge advantage in very tall buildings because of the way they handle air pressure.
Yes.
Rumor has it that Van Cannell was one day kind of chastised for not holding the door for a woman in a situation that was very crowded and he felt would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, this is back when people would say men were both more sexist and people in general had more etiquette, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this guy apparently had this moment with himself, this moment of clarity where he said, you know what? I don't want to hold the door for a woman ever again, even if she's my mother. And then he figured it out.
And that's how the revolving door came about.
Ergo.
No kidding.
Revolving doors.
Wow, okay, interesting. That's way more than I thought I was going to get out of you here for this.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
I thought it was a cool story.
It's really good. It is a cool story.
It's a rumor.
The reason I have a question about this is,
why is that?
I've accidentally smashed my wife in a revolving door.
Oh, man.
Right in, I mean, just terrible.
Was it a while ago?
It was a couple of years ago, and I'm chuckling now.
It
was serious at the time. I mean, I thought, holy cow, I've crushed her. But it was like, you know, across like her leg, chest, arm, you know, she was just about halfway in when the thing struck her, I guess.
Did you go in front of her?
I did.
Because you wanted to give her momentum.
I stood near there, and there were some people coming, and it was like, you know, the confused, who goes first, I go, and then here's what happened. I got in the door.
Uh-huh.
She tried to get in the same compartment with me. Like, tried to hop in there.
Oh.
And so I'm pushing full force.
Yeah.
She tries to hop in, gets about, 75% in.
Oh gosh!
And the door, and the edge of the door, the casement there.
Yeah,
that's where she was pinched in between, and
I
abruptly stopped my motion and realized what happened. Felt like a fool, of course, but you know, at the same time, I said, "Well, what the heck are you trying to do? Getting in my compartment here? You know, that's you get in one per compartment, and I was trying to."
Can you see how he designed it?
And
that way?
She said, "Why? You know, wouldn't I go first?" And I said, "Well, yeah, usually go first, but in a revolving door, the man goes first because he." Pushes the weight of the door for you, and that. Anyways, let's move on.
See, I don't like being able to not see
good
people.
Grief.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Scott, and I'm glad to hear that your wife is okay. I accidentally have jumped into the compartment before I knew what the etiquette was.
Yeah.
I jumped in behind.
Well, sometimes, like at a hospital, there's room for like five people in those things, but not in this case. This is a restaurant. And it was room for one.
A restaurant with a revolving door.
Okay.
Classy.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing.
This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
All right. This is
the last thing. Sorry about that. Big diversion. But I think maybe people's had some questions about revolving door etiquette.
Yeah.
All right. Glad we could maybe clear up nothing for them there.
We'll do a little something. Give back. We're giving back.
We cleared up nothing. Here's a weird one. This is the final one. Spiral staircases. What do you think I'm going to say about spiral staircases?
I go on the right.
You go on the right. Okay. Depends. Completely depends.
For real?
Yeah. Depends on the clockwise, counterclockwise ascension of the spiral staircase. Is this confusing enough for you?
It would be if I hadn't had the warm up.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Spiral staircases, they either ascend clockwise or counterclockwise. So just imagine that, you know, there's a pole in the middle.
Sure.
And you know what I'm talking about, right? The kind that just
they tightly start on your left or center,
around a pole, let's say.
And spiral,
you know, that
up.
That type, yeah. That, like you'd see in an old fire station or something, sure, like that, right? It goes, they spiral up steeply, okay? Mm-hmm. If it goes clockwise, which means that it starts on the right and it goes, starts on the left and goes up. If it goes clockwise, you stay on the right-hand side or the inner edge of the stairs. And if it goes counterclockwise, then you stay on the left side or the inner edge of the stairs again. And the reason for that is because the way the stairs are shaped, they're narrower near the point where they connect to that
pole.
Center pole.
Yeah.
And when you're going upstairs, you only use the balls of your feet and your toes.
So you reduce the distance.
So it's almost like a ladder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going up the stairs, you only need the tiniest little bit of stair to go up. But coming down, you need your full foot.
So you can fight gravity.
Well, you need your full foot because it's just a typical stair. You can't put just your heel on a stair and come down. It doesn't work that way because that's why you go down ladders backwards.
Huh.
So if this
you
is
go
really
down
weird,
ladders backwards,
I know you got it. Yeah,
kidding.
You go down.
I'm
yeah,
kidding.
You go down,
I'm kidding.
Well, anyway, you know what I mean. So I had no idea, but there's a proper left right side for a spiral staircase versus a clockwise staircase versus
there's a counterclockwise
staircase. Weird, huh?
Scott, You know, it doesn't take much, but I think you kind of blew my mind.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
I feel like we figured some stuff out. We didn't really get to ever say why people drive in these different ways. We hope that we've told you guys enough to let you know that, A, we find it fascinating. B, it affects so much other stuff aside from just where you drive and where your interstate exit is.
And there's more than I just mentioned there. That's just a brief synopsis.
There's so much
of
more.
Everything that's out there.
We both have piles of notes, but we don't want to get in trouble for going on.
I have
too
a
long.
Bunch of right-handed notes. Ben has a bunch of
left-handed
notes.
I mean, that's where this comes from. You know, I even have a map that I accidentally printed out in black and white, so you can't see.
Nice work.
Yeah, that's a keeper. All right, so we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed doing it. This is the part where we mention Car Stuff, not just on Facebook, but on Twitter as well, at CarStuffHSW. Mm-hmm. We also mentioned the blog, and then we also want to tell you, of course, guys, if you have an inkling or a trivia itch to learn more about anything automotive, check on our website. You know what? If you can't find it there, or you think, let me cut out the middleman, then just send us an email directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.